Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from the words of John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace. This is his autobiography called Out of the Depths. It's chapter 13, Leaving the Seafaring Life. Before I sailed on my third voyage, I met a young man who had formerly been a midshipman and my close companion on board the Harwich. He was, at the time I first knew him, a temperate youth. I found my unhappy attempts to infect him with libertine principles had been too successful. When we met at Liverpool, our acquaintance was renewed with the same level of intimacy. He had a good mind and had read many good books. Our conversation frequently turned to religion, and I very much wanted to repair the damage I had done to him. I gave him a clear account of the manner and reason for my change, and used every argument to persuade him to relinquish his infidel beliefs. When I sometimes pressed him to the point of having no answer, he would remind me that I was the first person who had given him an idea of freedom. This was the cause of many sad reflections on my part. He was then going as a master to Guinea, but before his ship was ready, his merchant went bankrupt, which cancelled the voyage. Since he didn't expect to find another position that year, I offered to take him with me as a companion so that he might learn more about the coast. The gentleman who employed me promised to provide a position for him upon his return. My motivation was not so much as to help him in his business, but to have an opportunity of discussing religion with him at leisure. I hoped that in the course of the voyage, my arguments, example, and prayers might have some good effect on him. My intention in this decision was better than my judgment, and I had many reasons later to regret it. He was terribly profane and grew worse and worse. I saw in him a living picture of what I had once been. It was very uncomfortable to have it always before my eyes. He was not only deaf to my protest himself, but also worked as hard as he could to counteract my influence upon others. He was impulsive and easily angered, and it required all my care and authority to hold him in any degree of control. He was a sharp thorn in my side for some time. Finally, I had an opportunity on the coast to buy a small vessel which I supplied with a cargo from my own ship. I gave him the command and sent him away to trade on behalf of the ship. When we parted, I forcefully repeated my best advice to him. I believe his friendship and regard for me were as great as could be expected, since our beliefs were so diametrically opposed. He seemed greatly affected when I left him, but my words had no weight. When he found himself free from my supervision, he indulged every appetite. His violent intemperance, added to the heat of the climate, threw him into a malignant fever, which killed him in a few days. He died convinced, but not changed. The account I had from those who were with him was dreadful. His rage and despair struck them all with horror. He pronounced his own fatal doom before he expired, without any appearance that he either hoped or asked for mercy. I thought it not improper to give you this stark contrast as a stronger illustration of the goodness of God to me, the chief of sinners. I left the coast in about 4 months and sailed for St. Christopher's. Until now, I had enjoyed a perfect state of health in different climates for several years. On this passage, however, I came down with a fever that put me at death's door. My letters from this period, when I could hardly hold a pen, showed that I thought that I would never write again. I did not have the full assurance that is so desirable at a time when flesh and heart fail. But my hopes were greater than my fears, and I felt a silent composure of spirit that enabled me to endure the event without much anxiety. My trust, though weak in degree, was fixed upon the blood and righteousness of Jesus. The words, "He is able to save to the uttermost," it gave me great relief. I was for a while troubled with a particular thought. I do not know whether it was a temptation or whether the fever had disordered my mind. I seemed not so much afraid of God's anger and punishment as I was of being lost and overlooked amid the myriads continually entering the unseen world. What is my soul, thought I, among such an innumerable multitude? Perhaps the Lord will not take notice of me. I was perplexed thus for some time, but at last a text of Scripture occurred to my mind and put an end to the doubt. The Lord knoweth them that are his, 2 Timothy 2:19. In about 10 days, when those about me had lost hope, I began to mend. By the time of our arrival in the West Indies, I was perfectly recovered. For about 6 years, the Lord was pleased to lead me in a secret way. I had learned something of the evil of my heart. I had read the Bible over and over, along with several good books. I had a general view of gospel truths. My concepts were in many respects, however, confused. In all this time, I did not meet with one acquaintance who could answer my questions. Upon my arrival at St. Christopher's, I found a ship's captain from London whose conversation was very helpful to me. He was a man of experience in the things of God and of a lively disposition. We discovered each other by some casual conversation in mixed company and soon became, so far as business would permit, inseparable. And for nearly a month, we spent every evening together on board each other's ship alternately and often prolonged our visits until almost daybreak. I was all ear. He not only increased my understanding, but his teaching warmed my heart. He encouraged me to pray aloud in gatherings, and he taught me the benefit of Christian conversation. He helped me resolve to make my profession more public and to attempt to speak for God. From him, rather than from the Lord, I should say rather from the Lord by him, I received an increase in knowledge. My beliefs became clearer and more evangelical. I was delivered from a fear that had long troubled me, the fear of relapsing into my former sin. Now I began to understand the security of the covenant of grace and to expect to be preserved, not by my own power and holiness, but by the mighty power and promise of God through faith in an unchangeable Savior. My friend likewise gave me a general view of the heresies and controversies of the time, of which I had no knowledge, and finally directed me where to inquire in London for further instruction. With these newly acquired advantages, I left him, and my passage home gave me leisure to digest what I had received. I had much comfort and freedom during those 7 weeks, and my sun was seldom clouded, S-U-N. I arrived in Liverpool during August 1754. Well, by the beginning of November, I was again ready to put to sea, but the Lord saw fit to overrule my plans. During the time I was engaged in the slave trade, I never had the least scruple as to its lawfulness. I was more or less satisfied with it as the appointment that God's providence had marked out for me. It was a usually very profitable business, although not in my case. The Lord knew that a great wealth would not be good for me. I considered myself as a sort of jailer, and I was sometimes shocked with an occupation that was perpetually connected with chains and bolts and shackles. And because of this, I had often prayed that the Lord in his own time would be pleased to place me in a more humane calling, where I might have more frequent fellowship with his people and worship. I longed to be freed from these long separations from home, which were very often hard to bear. My prayers were answered, though in a way I had never expected. I was within 2 days of sailing, and to all appearances, in good health as usual. In the afternoon, I was sitting with Mrs. Newton, drinking tea and talking over past events, when I was overcome with a seizure. I was left unconscious and motionless, with no sign of life but that of breathing. It lasted about an hour. When I recovered, a pain and dizziness in my head convinced the physicians to judge it would not be safe or prudent for me to proceed on the voyage. On the advice of my friend, to whom the ship belonged, I resigned my command the day before she sailed. Thus, I was unexpectedly called from that service and freed from the consequences of that voyage. The person who went in my place and most of the officers and many of the crew died, and the vessel was brought home only with great difficulty. Endnote says this, that a Captain Potter, who replaced Newton on the voyage, was killed, along with two others, when slaves took over the ship right off the African coast. Well, now disengaged from business, I left Liverpool and spent most of the following year at London and in Kent. I then experienced a new trial. You can easily understand that Mrs. Newton was not an unconcerned spectator when I was taken ill. The blow that struck me reached her in the same instant, but she did not feel it until her apprehensions on my account began to subside. As I grew better, she was thrown into a disorder that no physician could define or medicines remove. Without any of the ordinary symptoms of consumption, she decayed almost visibly. Now, footnote again, consumption was the common term for tuberculosis, which would have been accompanied by other symptoms as well. She became so weak that she could hardly bear anyone to walk across the room she was in. I was placed for about 11 months in what Dr. Young calls the dreadful post of observation, darker every hour. After my settlement at Liverpool, the Lord was pleased to restore Mrs. Newton by his own hand, when all hopes from medical treatment seemed futile. Before this took place, however, I have some other incidents to mention, and that he will do in the next chapter called A Student of Scripture. We'll go there next time. Thank you for listening. Please do look around our site. We have over 3,300 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers, persecution stories from North Korea and done in English and Korean, Bible studies on a number of subjects, and a blog. If you desire more fellowship than this, please consider visiting my YouTube channel known as Pasturelands or buying one of my books at Amazon.com or contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com, and I'll share details of our local ministry, our Saturday evening Zoom meeting for men, and our Tuesday noon meeting for men and women. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. This audio is being released on May 19, 2022. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.